Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave, and we want to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. We just got done playing the Kings twice in a short amount of time, twice in 3 days, and obviously we lost both of those games. But what we got to see from two players in particular, I really want to highlight. J-Dub, 27-8-6, and Saric sets his season high, and I just love what we're seeing from this team. I know we're not winning, Dave, but you tell me, why is it that we're still excited even though we're not winning?
Well, there's certain guys when we're doing a podcast, and I can think back to the very beginning of the podcast when one of our favorite listeners, Chencho, showed up to the scene and started talking and, you know, and agreeing with it, a lot of things that we were saying, that it feels good, you know, and it feels great. And then through the time that we've had, you know, friends like Blake come along, our buddy Blake that both Mark and I used to hang out with, and you know, we've also had Chris, our buddy from Australia. We love Chris. Anytime he comments or anything else like that, it gets us hyped up. And recently there's been a new one. His name is Bill Wright. The way that he uses words and the way that he is able to understand not just what we're saying, but what he is saying as well with it is so powerful. Like, he understands that J-Dub's special. You know, we've been saying it for a while that J-Dub's special, and he understands that. He knows that J-Dub's special, and what he says in this comment really hyped us up. And I think you have to look at it like this, is that in a construct of a team, when you have guys developing quickly, right, your first thing you need to do is take a step back and expectations and recognize that, like, J-Dub isn't your typical 12th pick of the draft. He's just not. When all pushing comes to shove, he's going to end up being like that name that everybody talks about. How did Kawhi slip that far? How did Giannis slip that far? How did blank slip that far? You know, like, that is who he's going to be. And I think that with J-Dub, as more we get to see him, the more we fall in love with him. And I want to say this. We said before the All-Star break that I felt like J-Dub should be the first pick of the draft if it got redrafted, just by the way he's playing. And there's a lot of, you know, feedback saying not yet.
Get some flack.
But here's the thing, though, man, is that what we're seeing recently and his continued success and what he did last night, he dominated last night. It wasn't just like him driving down. I mean, he dominated. He got the ball. He wanted to win, and he got downhill, and he got downhill so fast. There was nobody that could stop him. And it was like so eye opening. I was like, holy shit. If this is how he plays with Shea in the game, and this is how he plays with Josh in the game, and this is how he plays with Dort in the game, and then you throw Chet in the mix there, like, there's who's going to guard J-Dub? Who's going to guard Shea? They're going to have to pick their poison. Who do they want to beat him? Because J-Dub is going to be that two-way star that we've been craving, that Kawhi, like Bill said and you said. You know, I call it Scottie Pippen vibe, mm-hmm. because I like that. I love the old-school vibe that you don't need to score from three-point range to be successful. You know, and I see what he's able to do, and I'm like, Scottie Pippen didn't need a three-point range to be able to be great. So I look at J-Dub, and I'm like, this is what he could be. And the crazy thing is that no matter who we pick from the history of the game to compare him to, it's somebody that is 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches taller than him because he plays so big. And then it comes back to the whole idea, Mark, when we bring Chet back, who's going to start in that fourth position? Because everybody's like, oh, well, you know, we should go with Jay Will or JRE. But, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about this whole concept of positionless basketball coming to fruition right in front of our eyes right now. Because J-Dub has to start. Mm-hmm. He's way too good to come off that bench, man. He's way too good. Even now, like, he's way too good to come off that bench. And I think that, just like Coach has done in the past, that he has picked his four guys that are going to be starting for the future. And it's the four guys that we see: Shea, Josh, Dort, and J-Dub. Those are the four guys that we are seeing consistently out there. And it's exciting.
It is exciting. And, you know, we got to give Bill, you know, a little bit more credit too, because last episode we were talking and I was like, I feel like, you know, J-Dub reminds me a lot of Kawhi. And you were like, somebody else has said that before. Well, it was Bill. And Bill hit it head on. And one of the things I love most about the commenters who come along and help us is, like, their intelligence is injected into our podcast. Like, what they see, what they observe, it helps us. You know, we hear them and then we go out and we look for those things and we see those things. And then we're like, we're smarter because we've been educated by our listeners, and we appreciate that. It means a lot to us. It's really what we enjoy most about doing this, is because, you know, we'll have instinct, we'll see something, we'll like it, but then we all of a sudden start hearing confirmation, and then we'll start, like, our listeners will take us to the next fucking level. And we're
and
sitting here.
And that's so many of them, whether we're on the live, you know, and that's Unk, or, you know, like I said, Blake, or Mike, there's so many people.
Right.
Like, you guys, I cannot say enough, the comments that you guys make impact how we do our podcast.
Right.
And when somebody is intelligent and puts time into a comment, we want to take time and put it into what you're saying, because like what you're saying is powerful, especially what Bill Wright is saying. If you guys haven't seen it, go to the podcast that was done on 23 hours ago. It's Jalen Williams, a two-way star, the Oklahoma City Thunder, Inc. Lindy Waters to a two-year deal, all right? And if you go down, it should be one of the first four or five comments. It's Bill Wright 4234, all right? This is a powerful comment, and we have to sit here and we have to recognize that what he's saying and Bill's saying is right, right.
And we got to, you know, tip our hat to anybody who's a visionary and who can see things before they happen. And Bill's one of those guys, because what he's talking about, like, yeah, you can watch some college film and say, oh, if he can do that in the NBA, then he'll be fine. Anybody can say that. You could have said that about Jimmer Fredette. You could have said that about Steph Curry. Oh, if he can shoot like that in the NBA, he'll be fine. But saying he will be able to do that, his skill set will translate well, he will be a defensive stopper, he will be able to translate that three-point shot into the NBA, he can get downhill. And what we saw with J-Dub last night was this transition. And I know there's a lot of like talking, right, about why isn't SGA out there? Why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing this? Are we trying to win? Here's the deal. J-Dub stepped up because there was nobody else to step up. And that's what's so important about right now. J-Dub is passive when he has more, when he has better offensive threats on the court. When he looks around and he says, it's got to be me, we see what we saw last night. So even though some people will question whether or not we want to win, fuck that shit. It doesn't matter. We want to win every game, but we want to win with the guys we have. We don't want to look down the bench and say, if we had that guy, if we had that guy, that guy, where we would be. We want to win with who we have, because those are the guys who are going to improve. So J-Dub, huge game for him. Dario Saric, huge game for him, because those guys are transitioning into more than just spot-up shooters, secondary playmakers, or whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, if we can move those guys into, you know, much more on the ball, primary playmakers, we're going to be good. And trust me about Dario. Sam Presti has a plan for him. It's confusing right now. It's hard to quite understand, but it's something like the Mike Muscala deal, where at the end of his time, he's going to be a known commodity in the league. He already is. People want him on their team, but they want him to fill certain roles. People know what they were getting with Mike. And Mike's been in the league for a while, but it was a few years in the Thunder system where he really was able to hone his game. And now he's out there competing for a championship. I want to see Dario play for us for three more years, because what he did, to me, having J-Will sit there and watch was so critical, because J-Will can do most of the stuff Dario can do. But Dario's been a professional for a decade almost, and he's been into the NBA Finals. I was listening to his post-game press conference. His education, his experience, what he can teach the guys, it's all there. It's all there. You don't give away somebody like this. So I don't know what Sam Presti's plan is, but I would honestly, I went from being like, I'd be surprised if we kept Dario, to I would be shocked if we let him go. I really would be. He's that valuable of a piece, a voice in the locker room. He understands the game. And just something he said in the post-game press conference, he's like, I've been playing the game for a long time, and we just get out there and we play. Like, if that's his mentality, that's what we were trying to teach everybody else. So if he can do that, then everybody's going to follow him. I mean, he's a leader, and he's one of those leaders who doesn't lead by getting out there and barking and yelling. He leads by example. And what else do you want?
Man, you're so right. And it's going to be exciting how he develops into that person that we need. And I don't see Sam Presti getting rid of him at this point. I think that he's going to accommodate him in what he needs, unless he is going to be somebody that we can trade to move up in the draft to get a replacement.
But
and that big man
before we go too far down that trail, right? Say Mike,
sign and trade.
Like, say we were in a situation where we could have traded Mike to a situation, right, and moved up in the draft. I don't think we would have done it, because I think our commitment to Mike was, you're going to land on your feet at the next place.
Sure.
Right? So I feel like if Dario comes along and we're like, we're fitting together for the next 3 years, right? He's going to land on his feet wherever he goes. And I used to like feel like I didn't like Dario Saric. When he was on other teams, he always did stuff that hurt us. And now I'm like looking at him, I'm like, he's so misunderstood. Like he has been, I think you said it, right? There was a situation with Baisley where Baisley, it was like he needed more structure. Like he needed like to understand his role, right? Dario, he needed to just be able to play.
Yeah. And he's been misutilized in the NBA.
For years.
Yep.
And this is my first place.
We saw it the first 2 years of his career. He played for the 76ers in this free-flowing, pass the ball quickly in the Mike Brown era, right? And he succeeded and excelled. And then all of a sudden, you look at where he went from there, and it was all this structure, high, like, one-on-one stuff. And it just doesn't fit his game. It doesn't, you know? Like, it didn't fit his game to go and play for Minnesota and the Suns. Like, it doesn't help him out. He needs that free-flowing game. And that's what fits with the Thunder. And I think that if he's watching this, he's going to be having the best time of his life. And that's why I think that we can keep him for a couple more years, allowing JRE and J Will and whoever else is a big man to develop more for us.
Develop and develop in the right direction, because everything that Dario does is the stuff that Coach preaches. Like he was talking about getting to the free throw line early, seeing the ball go in the basket, getting out and running, getting rebounds, playing tough defense, position. Like he plays the game the right way. Like he is a plug and play Thunder player. That's it. Like
yep.
Now we got him. And a lot of people are like, can't wait to get rid of him. But by the end, what happened with Moose? It was like Moose cried and then the fans cried because we missed Moose. Now we got Dario and we're like, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't fall in love. Fall in love, guys. This guy plays the game the right way. He's got that European DNA that is what we're trying to inject in our team. And even though maybe your favorite player, few favorite players didn't get more playing time than, you know, their average out there last night, like we're seeing other players step up, and we have to understand coach is going to ride the hot hand. You don't ride the hot hand if you're trying to win. I mean, if you're trying to lose, yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, and look at the faith that he had in Trey Mann last night. I love it. I love the fact that Trey Mann's been struggling and he kept on going back to Trey Mann. Trey Mann. Listen, Coach D, in his own way, is showing the guys that he's there for them, that he's willing to do whatever it takes for them to get playing time. And last night when we're getting our asses handed to us and we're down 17 or 18 points and coach put Trey Mann in the game to help, you know, get the ball moving, bro, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what this team needs, is to have a belief that the coach has got them, that Sam Presti's got them, that, you know, whoever is up in the front office has got their backs. Because at this point, you know, what better way of being able to be in the NBA than just focus on playing basketball? Like, think about what's happening with the Lakers and the Clippers and Minnesota and the Suns. It's like all this other shit that's going on around makes it so it's hard to focus on just playing basketball. Oklahoma, you come there, everything else gets drowned out. You know, it's like living on an island of sorts. And you're able to sit there and focus on the game and look at the development with Josh Giddey. Look at the development with J-Dub in a year, you know. And we can go down this list of JRE and Jay Will and Lindy Waters that have been developing in amazing ways. Like, this is what this team is so special about, is we're bringing these guys in and we're saying, this is the mentality, this is the idea that we want to have and the character that we want to have on this team. So we're going to help you out. And you don't have the right character, you're not going to help this team out, then guess what? We'll find a place for you. And that's how we got Kenny Hustle. You know, that's how we got Dort. I mean, that's how we got Dario. I mean, it's about these guys that they have such an amazing character that you can't help but just fall in love with them. And that's why, for me, you're looking at the players and you're saying, I like this player, I like this player, I like this player. Everybody has a different player they like. And it's great because that's not normal.
It's not. And we're not normal. And Coach Daigneault's not normal. The way he's coaching, I think when you look at the way like Doc Rivers would, like the game's like out of hand, down 17, he goes to veterans and tries to steady the ship. Coach Daigneault leans into the youth movement. And we see it's not automatic, but the experiences gained from this are what are going to make great veteran players in the long run. They are going to build this team into a championship contender in a way that last time we got to the finals, we were so top heavy that we couldn't possibly pull off. So we love this journey and we love you for joining us for it. Thanks for doing that, and we're going to see you soon. Thunder up, everybody.